Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new week. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. Our phone number and text are the same as they've been for a long time, 312-981-7200. Hi, Wendy.
Morning, Bill. I want to hear the first word out of your mouth today. What are you thinking about?
Well,
I love that game, by the way, on the Cochrane Show.
That was radio's finest, wasn't it?
It could go all 4 hours.
Call and tell us what you're thinking. That's fun, or what Steve's thinking. All right. Two things. First of all, a bizarre weekend if you're a sports fan here in Chicago. Some huge ups, some huge downs, and some huge, we got to hold our breath and see what happens.
That's what I thought you were going to start with. Yeah. One word, Cubs.
I went to the game on Saturday.
Did you? Yeah.
It was exciting.
A tough 2-1 loss.
Well, I mean, it's the only catcher's interference game I've ever seen, you know. The game was decided on a mitt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a great, very exciting game, great pitcher's duel.
There's a lot going on. I mean, really, if you look at what happened sports-wise, you had the Bears with their biggest victory in years.
2013 was the last time this
that they
hit.
Scored that many
oh,
points.
Oh, no, I'm sorry that they're 3 in a row. I'm getting all my my facts mixed up.
They had an amazing game against
Mitch Trubisky.
What looks like a pretty good team. Yeah, he had a great day. All right, so you had the Bears. You had the White Sox, who had to fight and fight and fight to get to the landmark that we didn't want them to get to, which is 100 losses for the season. I didn't think that was going to happen. Sadly, that happened.
Remember I brought that up to Ed Farmer, and he's like, it's not about the losses. It's not about the scores. It's about... but and then that's all he's been talking about. And then they lost it. And I'm relieved the season's over.
It's demoralizing to lose triple digits.
I know.
It really is. They have the blueprint for a very good team going forward.
Yep.
So I
feel confident.
If you look at it, it's very similar to what the Cubs were like several years ago when they lost 100 games.
And look at them now.
Where are we heading? Well, we're heading in a good direction. And then the Cubs and the Brewers, that's insane. You play 162 games and you go, well, there'll be a winner decided out of the 162 games. Nope. There isn't.
And then it happens in the West,
right,
too.
Two out of the three National League divisions are the same. They're tied.
So let me see if I have this right.
Yes.
If the Cubs win today, they're the division champs.
Yes. And then they can sit out till Thursday. They don't have to worry until Thursday when they'll play.
And not only that, Bill, they're not facing a single game elimination.
Right.
Which is a big thing.
So today's win would be a gigantic win.
It's not a must win, but it's
not a must win.
But tomorrow could be.
Right. If they lose today, tomorrow's game would become a must win or it's all over.
So if they lose today, they're still in the playoffs regardless,
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Both teams are.
Yes.
Oh.
It's weird. It's a almost must game that isn't a must game.
Right. So both the Cubs and the Brewers have that situation here, and then the Rockies and the Dodgers have that same situation going on in Los Angeles, where all that's up for grabs really is the division title.
That's a pretty good thing to have.
And I have to say, all four teams came out swinging yesterday. I think they outscored their opponents something like 47-5.
Yeah, they were all in double digits.
Right. And the Cubs were the only ones who allowed any runs at all, 5. The other teams just annihilated their competition. So,
all right, so if they lose today, bite my tongue, I know, whatever, they have a wild card game tomorrow. So quick turnaround there, but
right.
That's okay.
At Wrigley.
Well, that's kind of good.
Against the loser of the West Coast game.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, they have
so
to
that's
travel
a long
there.
Travel.
Right.
Yesterday's game lasted so long, the Brewers finished theirs and were checked into their hotels in Chicago.
Yeah, it was when the Brewers game was
game
done,
was
it
over.
Was the seventh inning in the Cubs game. And they started like 10 minutes earlier.
The Cubs used, I think, 9 pitchers and St. Louis used 7. I mean, guys.
What's the typical game?
Milt Pappas pitched an inning yesterday for the Cubs.
2.5 innings. 2.5 hours, it's supposed to be. I mean,
well, 2.5 to 3, yeah.
It never is anymore.
It was a long, long game.
I was talking to a guy who went, and he said the sixth inning was an hour long.
Actually, the sixth inning, one inning.
Saturday's one game inning was over very quickly. It was a very short game. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, good luck, Cubs fans.
Thank you for saying that.
That's all
that
I feel, say.
That sounds nice.
I'm not wishing ill will to them.
No,
I'm not. When
no.
they go up against the Sox, it would have been a nice little thing, just bragging rights. Because
so
I bragged about game one, and they lost the other
part of
two.
You say, boy, if the White Sox hadn't beaten the Cubs in that first game of the series, then
no.
the Cubs would have hands down been the divisional champion. You didn't think that,
no.
did you? No.
I don't think that deep into sports. I go game by game.
All those losses, any one of those losses.
Right. Right. But then, Steve, because I was thinking that same thing. You go, oh, they let that one slip away, that one. They should have won that one. But then there were a couple of games that you go, well, they can't. There was a game they were down 10-2, and they came back and won it, I think, 14-10.
Well, I would expect that of them.
There was the David Bode Grand Slam against Washington a couple of weeks ago where they had no business winning the game, but miraculously they won. So during a season, it all kind of averages out, right?
Yeah. You know? Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
Am I going to play, Bill? I didn't know you were playing.
I might play.
Yeah. What? You're going to watch?
They need pitchers.
What time
is the game? Aren't you tired after pitching yesterday?
The game starts at 12:05 during the bonus hour. I will be completely worthless during the bonus hour today, just so you know.
See, but it doesn't matter that much. I mean, it matters.
It can
matter
a lot.
The end of the game matters.
I mean, it can matter a lot. It does, but
yeah.
It's a weird.
You got it either way.
You don't. Yeah, but you never want to be in a one and out situation where one game. They just played 6 months of baseball. You hate to think that tomorrow, depending on whatever happens, that 6 months can be washed away in one game. You know, seventh game of a World Series. That's fine because it's all on the line.
Yeah,
but in a one game playoff like that, boy, that's tough. It's so tough. Better to be there than not be there.
Yes.
Right? All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll discuss some of the other things going on in the news. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Oh, it's Bill left. It's Wendy Snyder. All right, we're talking about the weekend and what transpired over the weekend. It occurred to me, and I'm sure you watched Saturday Night Live.
I did.
All right. So you and I were speculating as to how, if at all, they would address the Kavanaugh hearings, right? And they came right out of the box. That was the very beginning of the show. Probably a wise move, you know. If
very one-sided, though, but...
Very one-sided.
There's
as President Trump has said. I don't know if you saw that.
But, I didn't. But yeah. It was, but you can't... You can't make fun of her story. You can't.
I don't think
I'm
so.
Sorry.
I don't think so.
And Matt Damon blew me away. He was so good as Brett Kavanaugh. Yeah.
I thought Melissa Milano was very good, too.
Could someone please tell me what the Alyssa Milano thing is?
She was there, right?
Oh, at the hearing.
She was at the hearing.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what is that?
Instead of having an actress portray her in the scene, they just held up a cardboard cutout of her, and she kept creeping into the proceedings.
All right, that one went past me.
It occurred to me at some point that what we're making fun of, the source material of what was being lampooned there is a horrible thing. It's either a woman being assaulted, or it's a guy whose career is
being tarnished,
being questioned, yeah,
with
yeah,
false yeah. accusations.
Right. I started thinking that same way years ago after the O.J. when O.J. Simpson was the story, and you'd watch any of the late night shows, and they were always, that was Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update, and they were always doing O.J. material and getting huge laughs with it. And I kept thinking, wow, it's funny stuff, I guess, but really the source material is that two people got stabbed to death. Or in this case, a woman either got sexually assaulted or a guy's career is being questioned. So everybody always talks about the political correctness of today's climate. I agree. We're living in the most politically correct time that I've ever seen anyway. And yet, somehow, comedy writers are still able to wring out these incidents and get laughs out of it. It's amazing.
Although, I will say, and again, I go back and forth with who I believe. And I believe Dr. Ford's testimony. I felt the raw emotion there. And then when Brett Kavanaugh took the stand, I believed him.
Yeah.
The questioning is when I started losing faith in his story.
Well, that's mostly what was made fun of on Saturday Night Live.
But all I'm saying is she didn't have things that were making the things that you could make fun of. He
right.
had a couple of things that were through his own choice revealing the I like beer, I can't get over that.
He did mention it several times.
The calendar is something, I guess I had a calendar. But you don't write specifics like, went to this party, saw this person.
But he thought that the calendar, Brett Kavanaugh's belief was by bringing the calendar, that would make people go, oh, wow, this guy took important details on every day of
right.
the summer. But in reality, it's coming back to bite him a little bit. And I have to say this, I didn't realize this I watched John Oliver last night on HBO, This Week Tonight. I didn't realize, you know how he would get very emotional and start to tear up whenever he talked about his dad and keeping these calendars? I assumed his dad had passed away.
Oh,
you knew? You knew he was alive?
His parents were both at the hearing.
As it turns out, his parents were there. Because I thought, wow, the reason he's getting so emotional, obviously, is he's lost his dad, and this is reminding him of holidays with his dad where he would read from his calendar. But no, his dad is not only alive, but as you said, he was there.
Listen,
so why was he so emotional about that?
Because in my opinion, and I can be totally wrong, and I'm not a body language expert, but I just felt like, you know, if you're not 100%, I don't know. I just know that if you lie about something and you feel that all these people are there supporting you, perhaps there's some guilt that overcomes you.
Mm-hmm.
His parents are there. If he really did do this, he's not going to admit it now. It's too late. He's in too deep. You stick with the story.
Right.
So I wonder if he, you know, mentions his parents, mentions his wife and his daughters, if he like feels guilty, like, here these people are supporting me and I'm just a liar.
But didn't it have the flavor, you know, when you recount something of somebody that's no longer around and you get a little misty-eyed because that person isn't around anymore? It had that kind of a feel to it. Like every time he mentioned his dad in the calendars, he had to take an extra breath and it was hard to compose himself. The kind of thing that you would normally do if that person was gone.
Yeah.
But he's not gone.
I didn't see it that way.
You didn't see it that way?
No, I mean, I just because you're talking about how influential your parents are and...
That's a touching moment.
I mean, you know, you talk about your kids or things like that, and highly emotional moments.
Well, you're lying.
He got that way with his daughter talking about the prayer. You know, that his daughter's 10 years old and she wants to pray.
For Dr. Ford.
He was extremely emotional, obviously, and that's kind of the angle that Saturday Night Live has taken. And I got to say, it was a really funny opening.
It really was,
despite the fact that what's being made fun of is not funny at all.
But I couldn't help but think of Brett.
I'm a keg half full of sort of guy. My God! And then chugging the can of water.
Yeah,
or shooting it. Yeah,
shotgun.
Yeah.
You never did that. God, it's fun.
No.
Fun. I did that in high school. I'll admit it right now. And a beer bong.
But you're not. I don't think running to you're
well,
not running
now.
To be a well yeah it's over your dreams of being
those are not my
justice
dreams
are over so overall I mean depending on your thoughts on the case I imagine that may have tempered whether or not you thought Saturday Night Live was funny at all. The president has said that they're very one sided. We haven't even started to talk about Kanye West yet and the weirdness that was Kanye West. So why don't we do this? We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll cover that and more. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're easy to reach. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. If it's okay with you, Wendy, let's pick up where we left off. We were discussing Saturday Night Live's treatment of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings. And not just Saturday Night Live. John Oliver did a very interesting job with it last night. It's been on The Daily Show. All you late-night talk show hosts have been taking jabs over what took place last week. Donald Trump said this, like many, I don't watch Saturday Night Live, even though
Baloney.
I cast hosted it.
It's he no watches longer... every weekend to see how he's lampooned.
I keep wondering that.
He watches.
Because I even said to my family as we were watching Saturday Night Live, if you're Brett Kavanaugh, are you watching this?
I was thinking that too. I wondered how he felt. It's not a laughable matter because he's up for the biggest job of his life.
Yeah. you'd be curious to go. Wow, they're gonna do something about me. Let's see what they do.
In a twisted, weird way, it's flattering to have Matt Damon portraying you. I guess.
Yes.
But, man, I don't know how.
Right. Right.
You would watch. I don't know how you would watch it, and I don't know how you wouldn't.
But all right, so let's separate him for a second. Let's say you're Donald Trump, and throughout your life,
I don't want to be him.
This is as hypothetical as can be. Throughout your life, if it's 10:30 Central Time, you turn on 2, 5, or 7 and watch your favorite late night talk show host at the end of the day. But now you know you're going to be the subject matter of much of what they talk about. So do you watch it more intently going, I don't agree with that. Oh, I did do that. Oh, I wouldn't have said that.
Yes, he wants people talking about him. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Some people enjoy that.
Right. All right, again, Donald Trump's words. Like many, I don't watch Saturday Night Live. Side note, it's the ratings for Saturday Night Live this past weekend were gigantic.
Yep.
Even though hosted it, it's no longer funny. There's no talent or charm. It's just a political ad for the Dems. Word is that Kanye West, who put on a MAGA hat after the show, despite being told no, was great. The only person saying that today is Kanye West.
Even Kim Kardashian is going, what were you thinking?
I don't know. We'll get into that in a second. Donald Trump then concludes by saying he's leading the charge.
Well, then we are screwed.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
For those of you who don't know, Kanye West was the musical guest on Saturday Night Live.
A fill-in, by the way.
A fill-in for Ariana Grande.
And he wanted three songs or he wasn't going to do it. Because I wondered why he had three songs. Didn't you?
Every once in a while, for a couple of different reasons, the musical guest does three songs. It doesn't happen a lot. Sometimes they have a time window that it's not long enough for a sketch, so they'll let a band come on out, which is kind of what went on. I didn't know that he insisted. I was hearing that today from several sources, that he insisted he would only do it if he got three songs. So they wisely did the third song at the end of the show as kind of a closeout. So at the end of the song, and I don't know if everyone's satellite or cable was like this. I didn't get any of the rant on my TV.
They bailed on it.
All right.
Which Kanye should have probably done that first, but he saved it. Because when I heard that it was cut, I got an alert that they cut his rant.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to see if there was an obvious edit, but it just, they were rolling the credits at the very end of his song, and then it just stopped.
Right.
You just saw like the logo at the end.
So he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat, which, as you'll hear, we'll play you the audio. He has issues with, because he said people backstage told him he can't wear the hat, he shouldn't wear the hat. He does say the most honest Kanye West thing I've ever heard him say during the rant. Somebody yells out, "Can I spoil it?
Can we do the? Can we play it?
We can play it, and then you'll hear it." But I'm not a fan of his. Hold on, just a second. I'm not a fan of his for several reasons. Most notably, I don't think he understands the concept of slavery, which sounds idiotic, but he doesn't understand the concept of slavery. He has on many occasions compared his life and the way he's treated to those of the slaves, which if you'd read up on slavery... Very few of the slaves lived in mansions and drove expensive cars and get all the perks that Kanye West get. Very, very few. I'm sure there's a handful of slaves that were treated that well, but not that many. He also said that slaves had the option, that they didn't have to be slaves. Not too true. Not too true. I would say about 100.00% of the slaves were forced into slavery.
Yep.
There wasn't a sign-up sheet. So now, listen to this. This is his rant that you didn't get to see on Saturday Night Live.
Trello, Trello, Trello. You see, they laughing at me. You heard them, they scream at me. They bully me. They bullied me backstage. They said, don't go out there with that hat on. They bullied me backstage.
Yes, hold on for a second. Is that bullying? If somebody goes, you're wearing a hat, could you not wear the hat? Is that bullying?
That term is used so loosely now, I can't stand it.
I don't know if that qualifies as bullying.
No, this is our show. We don't want to make, although they do make political statements, but it's their show. They can say, please don't wear that.
This is a guy that willingly dressed up as a Perrier bottle on network television.
Sure, they let me wear a Perrier bottle, but not the hat.
I don't understand how this qualifies as bullying. And I don't even know if this happened, but if somebody said to him, maybe not the hat.
He wore the hat. He wore the hat in the rehearsals too, because there were pictures of him.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you're Kanye West. I almost said Conway. You're Kanye West, right?
Yeah.
Would you go out there and say I've been bullied? It sounds like you know.
But you're a wimp.
They were bullying me.
You know, they told me not to, and I said, you know where you can stick this hat. That's what you say. No one's going to tell Kanye. Yay.
He wants to paint himself as a... Yeah, now it's just yay. It's not... Kanye takes too long to say
boo.
Wendy. So he wants to paint himself as a rebel who, you know, society was bullying him and told him, you cannot wear the hat. Well, guess what? I'm wearing the hat. All right, you win. Here's more.
Stage. They
sunken place. You want to see the sunken place? Okay, I'm going to listen to y'all now. Or I'm going to put my Superman cape on. Because this means you can't tell me what to do. Follow your heart and stop following your mind. That's how we're controlled. That's how we're programmed. If you want the world to move forward, try love.
Wait, hold on one second.
I agree with that. Follow your heart, love.
It's very poetic to say follow your heart and not your mind, but a lot of times that's not in your best interest. You have to find a balance of following your heart and following your mind.
And stay true to yourself, but
right,
you're right.
Right, you know.
Because if everybody just followed their heart...
Where would we be?
We'd be fired.
A lot of us would be fired.
I mean, not just us, and not in radio, in your office,
right,
if you followed your heart.
The key is to follow both, depending on the circumstance.
Right.
Right? Isn't it?
Yeah. All right.
Here's more.
Thank y'all for giving me this platform. I know some of y'all don't agree, but y'all be going at that man neck a lot, and I don't think it's actually that helpful. I think the universe has balance. 90% of news are liberal. 90% of TV, LA, New York, writers, rappers, musicians. So it's easy to make it seem like it's so one-sided.
All right, do you think those numbers are even close to accurate, that 90% of of the media is liberal, 90%?
It's up there. I mean, I don't know about 90%, but
if you look at radio shows across the country, the ones that score your highest ratings are the right-wing leaning shows, the Rush Limbaugh types.
Why do you want to get all riled up listening to that? Seriously.
It's just, sometimes it's maddening when a guy like this is complaining that he's not given the platform, and then when he gets the platform, it doesn't make any sense.
It's in the upper percentages. I don't know if it's
not,
90.
I know it's not 90%.
75 or up.
I think it swings more to the left, but I don't think it's 90 to 10. There's no way. All those Limbaugh-type shows that exist, to big numbers, to huge numbers.
Yeah, but other than Limbaugh, not that many people are that popular.
Well,
I mean, there are...
Sean Hannity is immensely popular. There's a bunch. I mean, the guys that have reached the national level of preaching about politics, there's way more right-wing guys than left-wing guys.
Don't think so.
You don't think so? Name
in
one.
Radio, maybe.
Well, that's what we're saying. In radio, I think definitely.
Specific...
And if you look at radio hosts,
yeah,
around the country.
Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, Limbaugh. Those are the big three, right?
Yeah, and they do get ratings.
But who's on the left?
What's her name? I can't think of her name.
Who?
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller? Her numbers are nowhere near what theirs.
Laura, is it Laura Ingram?
Ingram? Yeah.
This is a big conservative radio host?
But I guess maybe radio, but for the other forms of media, it is...
Yeah. More?
Definitely, yeah. 75 and up.
Who draws bigger numbers, Fox News or MSNBC?
Fox, by a lot.
Really?
By a lot. Yeah, it's not even close. All right, more.
Come on, another shot.
I thought this country said I could be me.
I think the rest is just singing, right?
I love me too.
Well, no.
That's, by the way, that's the most honest moment right there. Someone in the audience yells, "I love you, Kanye," and he, without even blinking, goes, "I love me too." First of all, you couldn't be more accurate than that. He nailed that.
He goes on about Donald Trump, too. I don't know
if
we need to find that, but we should probably take a break.
All right.
I told you he was on the Family Feud with the Kardashians, and the question was, who's more popular, or in a percentage, are you the most, what percentage are you the most popular person at work or whatever? And Kim Kardashian answered 100%, and so did he.
Yeah. And the world was shocked.
Yeah, I know. Right? He had to change his answer.
All right, a break and then more show. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're trying our best to make sense out of what the artist formerly known as Kanye West said on Saturday. He's now just Ye. It takes too long to say Kanye, Wendy.
What are just you going to be? Just
ooh.
Ooh.
That's me. His brother's name is going to be Ney. It's going to be Ye and Ney. Those are the West brothers. All right. So,
do we have the rest of Kanye when he's talking about the president?
I want to cry right now. Black man in America. Supposed to keep what you feel inside right now. And the liberals.
There's a little pause because Chris Rock was in the audience.
Little pause was the rapper who sang with him.
You know, it's like a plan they did to take the fathers out of the home and promote welfare. Does anybody know about that? That's a Democratic plan. And so many times I talk to, like, a white person about this and I say, how could you like Trump? He's racist. Well, if I was concerned about racism, I would have moved out of America a long time ago. We don't just make out of...
Can you pause it? If he moved out of America, do you think he'd be as filthy rich as he is right now?
Do I think? No, I don't think so.
So
I don't think so.
Is there how much is left?
Has anyone who's ever threatened to leave America because of the political climate ever truly left America?
No.
Stars on both sides, Democrat
Baldwin.
And Republican side, always say, you know, that's it. I got to leave America. I can't. This isn't my country anymore. I'm going away. I've never seen anyone actually follow through on it.
Alec Baldwin said he was going to leave, but then it's like he got the best role in the world since Donald Trump was elected.
Right.
A little bit more of yay.
Yay.
And when I say I'm running 2020, all my smart friends. Now you got a situation where we need to have a dialogue and not a diatribe. Because if you want something to change, it's not going to the TV, LA, New York, writers, rappers, musicians. So it's easy to make it seem like it's so one-sided.
Glitchy. All right, so he said he's running in 2020. You heard that, right?
I heard that, but I don't know where he was going with that. Do you? And I know. So the feed we're getting is Jasmine. Is this right? Is this from Chris Rock, who was there?
This is from Chris Rock's IG story. So hence the little pauses and everything.
IG is Instagram.
Chris Rock can't believe it.
And Chris, you heard that.
If you follow Chris Rock, Chris Rock has often talked about the divide in America between black people and white people. And the double standards that exist. He knows that that's a reality. We all know that that's a reality, but Kanye West's take on it is a very strange take.
Well, it's
the 13th Amendment abolished, which is...
That's another story in itself.
What's that all about? What's he talking about there?
And who is he to be leading the force here?
I just don't
really understand it, but... I don't know. The point is to get people talking about you. It's working.
This was at the end of the show.
And they cut it out. It did not hit air.
That's what I was going to say. He's an entertainer, right? He knows how these things work. I mean, he had to know that that wasn't going to be on the show.
No,
I think he believed that they were going to run that.
Yes.
That they were going to run long and just keep
I don't know that it was long. I think they cut out early. I'd have to check the timer on my DVR.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes the show does run long and they have somebody, the host, come out and thank everybody. They did that with Adam Driver at first, and then he just very quickly thanked everybody and then said, oh, here's Kanye West again. So maybe it went a little long. Perhaps he should have gotten his message. Like, it should have just been his message.
But I think he believed he was preaching to America at that point.
Yeah,
that
I think he thought he was
TV.
Live. But they cut out of it a little early.
Well, that's what I'm speaking to, just the delusional attitude that, you know, he must know how the show works.
Yeah.
I don't know if it went over, though. I think the news alert I got was that they cut out of it early.
Right. Now, I didn't see... There's several stories today about how cast members were walking off the stage. I didn't see that.
I didn't either.
It said that Adam Driver and several of the cast members during the rant just walked off the stage. I was looking specifically for that because I was thinking if I was up there... How much of that do you want to just smile and nod to? At some point you go, okay, this has gone on too far. I can't do this anymore. You just walk off. I didn't see anybody do that.
And I know that, you know, it seems one-sided, but that show is typically leaning to the left. So, of course, people wouldn't be agreeing with that.
Right. Right. Right, right, right.
I don't know.
So if you're him today, Do you consider
that? I nailed
that,
it. That's what he says.
That's my question is, if you're him sitting around the mansion that he's in right now, do you go, well, I told my story and America took to it? Or do you just go, I really messed that up. That could have gone better.
Yeah, but it's out there all over the place now. Everybody's playing it, so it could be better for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, again, he was bullied and they cut it. They pulled the plug because they bullied him.
I guarantee you that's going to be his slant on this, is that they didn't want my words to be heard, so they pulled it.
Right. You got to stop using bullying. You know? I mean, seriously, bullying is different than, you know, I took your Game Boy away. Quit bullying me. Right. That's not bullying.
No, I don't think so. All right. A break, some news, more show. It's us.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's coming up next.
Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. We're 312-981-7200 if you want to reach us at any point during the show. Wendy, you had a chance to go pirating over the weekend and somehow did not go pirating. What is pirating?
My son Dylan is a huge pirate lover. Pirates of the Caribbean, real pirates, and there's a
Manny Sanguian.
I take it he's a Pittsburgh pirate.
Bob Moose. He was a Pirates catcher for many years, and your son loves him.
He was looking online and found that there's a pirate ship that gives tours around Lake Michigan that takes off from Navy Pier.
Oh.
I never knew of this. It's a sailboat, like one of those tall ships.
Yeah.
And
but they've decked it out to appear like it did in pirate days.
I don't know about that, but allegedly there are pirate stories and there are famous pirates from around the Chicago area. I don't think they're still here.
Lincoln Towing. I mean, let's be honest.
They got their license back temporarily.
I know.
How about that? It sounded like a good idea, but yesterday was the last cruise. And he told me about it.
Does the pirate season only go through September?
Well, the boating season only goes.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You can't do it on this. Get some ice cubes out there.
Because I always pictured pirating as a year-round thing, but I guess, the cold weather months wouldn't do well for pirates.
Right. So I'm not good at last-minute things, and I just didn't want to pull the trigger. Here's why. It was supposed to rain yesterday. It actually turned out to be warmer than anticipated.
Yeah, it was a nice day. Good day for pirating. That's what we said at my house.
It was pretty
cloudy.
Who wants
to go pirating, we said to our kids in the morning.
He's the one who brought it up to me. So
you didn't even know this was an option until yesterday.
Yeah. And I said, you know, what do you mean tomorrow's the last day? He's like, it runs May to September. And I said, well, thanks for telling me now. So we're going to, I can't wait to go in May. And if you go on the night cruise, they tell pirate tales as well as give the history of some pirate areas here in the Midwest. And then you're treated to a fireworks display.
Oh.
So that.
Pirates had fireworks? I don't know if they had.
They were the originators of it.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. They do that during the night pirate trips, but during the day, you can't have fireworks, obviously, but they still tell pirating stories.
Yeah, but this is, I guess, the history. Did you know of any pirates from this area?
The suburbs, not the city. I know Glen Ellen still has a big pirate problem.
Yeah, I didn't know there were pirate stories around here.
No, I'm shocked to hear that.
So I would have found out, but we're going to have to wait till next season, people.
Oh, and you must be horribly disappointed.
He was kind of disappointed.
Well, he was, but you must be a little bit.
I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, last summer we went on the architecture tour, and I had been when I was probably his age, 15, and I hadn't been back since. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I want to every weekend be out on that lake next summer.
All right. We'll get you a pontoon boat.
I would do that, too. I have my sea legs, as they say.
Keep them covered. I don't want to see them. It's very distracting. So how much lead time do you need if there is a pirating event? Let's say Steve and Mary and I find out about an exciting pirate adventure that we want to take you on. You can't just do it same day. You need a little lead time.
I'm not as spontaneous as I used to be. Although, think back, and any time you do something spontaneously, it's usually a ton of fun.
Sure it is.
I just, Sundays are very busy for me.
Yeah, doing?
Grocery shopping.
Yeah.
Telling Jim which laundry basket needs to go up or down.
The whole day is spoken for now.
I usually cook every Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you can't be out pillaging with your pirate friends all that going on?
I had nothing to wear. If you want to know the truth, I didn't have any pirate wear.
That's the hardest part, is trying to dress all pirate-y so you fit in.
I have a lot of scarves I could have tied around my head.
Scarves!
Very good. I do love those boat trips. I'm telling you, when's the last time you went on the architecture tour?
You know, I have not been on it, but because when I take the train, I walk along the Riverwalk. If you pace yourself properly, you're kind of treated to the tour. So in the years that I've done that, I've picked up pretty much all the information that they share with you during that part of the ride. I know it goes a little bit further than where I go, but I know what building is what and who built what when.
It's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah.
So,
it's very cool. This part of the year makes me sad because for the last couple of months, well, I guess you can say that about almost anywhere in the city, but that Riverwalk is jam-packed with people in the daytime, and now this time of year, I went down there, and it's, you know, it's almost completely empty. Nobody wants to go down. And honestly, the weather's still nice.
It is.
It's just not, you know, summertime nice.
It's not summer.
Yeah.
You're in the fall mode.
Yeah, I guess so.
And I got to be honest with you, I haven't been down to the Riverwalk.
Oh, it's stunning.
Recently, like in the last several years.
It's so good.
So when I went down to watch you and Judy Pilak play ping pong, which, by the way, if you go to WGNradio.com, I believe that video is up there.
It's on.
You went so easy on her.
Yeah, I did. I did.
But I couldn't believe that was Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It was like I escaped to some little resort town.
It's views you're not accustomed to, and you're right. It feels like you're somewhere else.
Yeah.
There's great restaurants down there, and they're opening more and more all the time. It's like one of the best parts of the city, and so many people who live here go, I haven't been down there yet. You got to go down there. It's amazing how great it is.
All right. How about we say this on the air so it has to happen?
Yeah.
Next summer, we do shows every Friday from the Riverwalk.
I would do that.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I'd love to do that, yeah.
All right, Jasmine, let's do that.
Make it so, number one. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. Can I just say hockey's back, and I know
yes,
the Cubs have a big game today.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes.
It's not a must win, but it's a should win.
We'd like them to win game, yes.
But hockey is back, baby, and Coach Q joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 8:40 to talk about kickoff of the 2018-19 season. They might talk a little tennis as well,
because
Coach Q is a tennis player. You need to play him.
I'm trying.
Offer
out. You would think so. I don't know why it hasn't happened, but I've been trying for it's been over 2 years now.
All right, I have some
bad... George Orta told me to give up. We went to Mexico last year. He goes, just give up. It's not going to happen. But you know me, I persevere.
We need to talk to Grant Mulvey.
Thursday.
Okay,
he's
good.
He's going to be on Thursday.
All right, perfect. So this in the news, Disneyland is going to be taking away some of the benches and seats that they leave out there. For people who wait for their kids because they might throw up on a ride, like myself, they're trying to help the guest flow. This was the first time I ever went to Disneyland in Anaheim last year.
Yeah.
Was it last year?
Yeah, it was a couple months ago.
Oh, I went this year?
Yeah, you just went a few months ago. You didn't remember that?
No.
You were there.
I guess it was in July.
Yeah.
Wow. It was very memorable.
I either went in July or when I was a kid. I don't remember.
No. I had never been to Disneyland. It's crowded because it's Disney. I mean,
it's going to be crowded.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, to be honest with you.
But alleviating the benches, I don't know if that's going to make it less crowded.
Well, that's their theory, and they're just kind of randomly removing some of these benches over the course of the last few months. Like, all of a sudden, there was a bench there.
Yeah.
Some people have voiced their anger to the press, and they're talking about it on social media.
Do they do it quickly, like kids used to do in grade school? Like, you'd go to sit down, and they just pull the chair away? Is that what they're doing?
Oh, that would be sad.
Ah, you fell for it, bub. You thought you had a place to sit, but now you don't. Too bad for you.
Sleeping Beauty's castle.
They're taking that away?
No. Fans who are regular visitors to the theme park say they've noticed fixed seating and planters quietly removed over recent months. They believe it's in preparation for the bumper crowds. This is true that are expected to flock the park when that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens next
that's gonna
summer.
Be gigantic.
That's why Dylan was pitching us to go next summer.
Yeah.
And Jim said probably.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be big. You got to get in line now for that. That's not going to be open for a year, but if you're not in line by now, you're never going to see it.
Someone says, I'm really bummed about it because I have bad knees and ankles. It's turning into Magic Mountain. That's all concrete as far as I'm concerned.
But there must be better ways than taking out the benches.
Those benches
you need them.
Are so key because, honestly, I'm not great on rides. And when I had to bail on the Indiana Jones ride because I realized it was going to be a little rockier than I thought.
Yes.
I walked the walk of shame backwards out of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I said,
did people make fun of you? No one did?
No one really makes fun of you there.
No.
Because everybody's got an issue. There were people who were waiting in line for something. Some poor kid was throwing up.
Oh.
This was before the ride.
That's nice. Good.
I know. I felt so bad for the parents. I should have felt bad for the kid, I guess.
Yeah.
He was embarrassed, too. He was probably about 17 years old.
Oh.
And it's not like he drank too much because they don't serve alcohol.
The Indiana Jones ride is not that jolty. I mean, there are far more scary rides. I mean, you know, it's all right, but it's not. I can't imagine it making anybody sick.
I don't fare well on rides.
No?
Splash Mountain is pretty much the only thing I can do.
You need the benches, then. You should be complaining to them.
It's not just me. Look at all the grandparents that bring kids there.
Right.
And you need a little break during the day.
That's the thing. If you're on your feet the whole day, you're either in line or walking from ride to ride. A bench is you need that.
It's believed.
Too bad. They're gone. No sitting at Disneyland. No more ride. You can't sit on a ride either. If you're on It's a Small World, you got to swim the whole way.
Is it, you know, to keep people in shape, Mickey?
Yeah.
Is that why you're
people
doing
are fat.
It?
We I don't want any fat people there.
People
only
who...
skinny people.
You have a little bit of a belly, Mickey.
Yeah, whatever.
Skinny arms and legs.
Whatever.
No muscle tone there, but you
I'm
got that little round.
I'm 78
years old. Wow, you look pretty good.
All right.
It's believed the overall seat numbers will be brought back up to present levels, but they're going to put them in the on-site restaurants, which that's not fair.
That's not it. You got to put them where, I mean, you got to spread them out all over the park. This is not good.
It is. Wow, you're upset about it.
It'll be the end of Disneyland.
A Disneyland spokesman told Mail Online Travel, "We continually strive to deliver a great guest experience, and we're always looking at ways to enhance elements such as guest flow, seating, and landscaping."
Move along, bub.
Which play an important part
Don't
of a
linger.
Guest visit.
Keep going.
What are you
going
to do when you want an orange whip, or not an orange whip, a Dole Whip?
A Dole Whip? Oh, that's the best food in all of Disney.
You know, I was shocked.
That is so good.
Everybody has talked about those, and I finally had one for the first time a couple years ago.
And?
It's the best thing ever invented.
It's really good.
Do you get the float? Because that's what I like.
I mix it up. Sometimes I get the float, sometimes the regular traditional Dole Whip. So there's like a freezy orange component, and then there's like a fluffy orange component together.
Pineapple.
Well, there is a pineapple stand also, but the one in Disney World you can only get by the Tiki Room.
Right.
That's the orange, and then there's a pineapple one in Adventureland. And there's been days, Wendy, where I've done both in the same day.
Wow, what a rebel.
You are. I was just going to say that,
what
Mickey.
What a rebel.
He is.
Look at you, James Dean.
I've never seen the orange ones. I have to be
the orange
honest.
Ones.
It's just
Disney
pineapple.
Is,
I've never had an orange one.
The orange was the original, and then they added pineapple, and I think there was strawberry for a little while.
And the tiki tiki.
It's right by the Tiki Room. There's a stand that has the orange. Do you know who the orange bird is? He used to be in all the commercials for Florida orange juice with Anita Bryant.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Don't bring her name up. That did not go well.
Speaking of orange, what's that new mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers?
You've seen this guy, right?
It's what's his name? Gritty?
Nightmare-y.
All right. Somebody posted a meme on social media.
For people who don't know, the single worst mascot in the history of sports. You can't get more terrifying looking than this thing is. I don't know what it's supposed to be.
I don't either.
It's like an orange fungus or something.
It's terrible, but Gritty is his name, I believe.
Sounds right. Yeah, Gritty.
And someone posted a meme, and it says that who's the one who's out looking at the abominable snowman in the character Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Who is that? Kris Kringle.
Oh,
he's got red hair and a beard.
UConn Cornelius. There's a guy named UConn Cornelius in there who's out.
No, this is
he's
a
like
red.
A prospector.
No, this is a red haired. Is that Kris Kringle? Where he's
The dentist.
Kris Kringle
kid?
Is Santa Claus.
The dentist.
No,
that's Hermie the dentist.
Oh,
Oh God! Look at the expert.
Look
here.
On Yukon Cornelius. I think
no.
That's,
this is
that's
a
not?
Redheaded guy. This is who's the main star of the show? Kris Kringle, right?
No, Kris Kringle, Santa Claus.
Spoiler alerts.
Well, that's not a. That's no. I'm not
Let me
spoiling
find
anything.
It.
Just Google Yukon Cornelius. I think that's your guy.
Maybe he's like thinking of Burl Ives.
Is it Burl Ives? Is it Sam the Snowman, Wendy?
Who is out on the mission?
Mr. Phelps. No. Mission Impossible?
No, that's not who I'm talking about.
Really? Tell me more about him.
We got to take a break.
All right.
No, we don't.
But we have to solve this mystery.
All right, well, who is the starring person? Santa Claus, isn't he? Doesn't he have red hair and a beard when he's younger?
When he's much younger.
Is he the one who runs into the abdominable snowman?
Abominable snowman?
No, abdominal.
Abdominal snowman?
There's a picture.
I think this is just a dream you had. This isn't a TV special.
You're not working with me.
There's a red-haired kid in Santa Claus is coming
All right,
coming
Bill
to
is
town.
Blowing me a lot of That's crap here. I just lost the caller who was going to defend me.
Oh.
It's Kris Kringle. He is out on an expedition, and he runs into the abominable snowman.
Yeah.
And someone said if they had a love child, that's who Gritty is. That's all I was going for.
Of Kris Kringle
and the abominable snowman.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's elements of...
Because it's hairy and red and weird.
Yeah.
But it's a meme with Kris Kringle.
Yeah.
Remember he had red hair?
The young version of him did when Mickey Rooney did it and Santa Claus is coming to that one. Which one do you mean?
Gabe, help me out here.
What you got is Santa Claus is coming to town. The young Kris Kringle had red hair, then as a disguise grew a beard.
The Mickey Rooney version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the villain was the Burgermeister.
Right.
And then it's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had, you know, the abominable snowman, which was called Bumble by a prospector named Yukon Cornelius,
yeah.
who had a beard.
And red hair.
Right.
No, he didn't have red hair. He was bald with a beard.
Red beard.
No, not a
no?
red beard.
He hosted Rockline.
It was, black or dark brown.
Well, all
it
right.
looks red in this picture.
Wendy has a picture of him in her wallet. Don't ask why. Don't ask why, please.
But like I say, could be, various tinting and, colors, can fade and such. So, but
right.
No, that's the thing is that when you think of the one with the abominable snowman, who had his teeth removed by Hermie the dentist before, and says, and when pushing the abominable snowman off the cliff,
yes,
goes down with both Yukon Cornelius and and the abominable snowman, but they survive because Bumble's bounces, according
yes,
to Yukon Cornelius.
Yes, we learned that, didn't we, Gabe? You know your stuff.
Yeah, well, it helps not to have a life.
Thanks, Gabe.
Keep Thank your powder you. Dry.
All right. Gabe sounded like the coach on Cochran Show. Didn't he?
Yes, he,
yes
did.
He did.
Shut
yes.
up, Cochran. That's who he sounded like.
He was too nice, though.
Way too nice. Way too nice. All right. Eric Zorn's going to come by, and we'll talk to him. That happens right after the news. Stay here. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. The greatest father in all the land. Zorn, Zorn, Zorn. We sing the praises of Zorn.
Eric Zorn is here. Will we be singing his praises?
I will be. I'm an Eric Zorn fan. I don't say that because you're here, Eric. Nice to see you.
Do you say it every hour on the hour?
I say it almost every hour on the hour.
Instead of hearing it.
Instead of a time check?
Eric Zorn is my favorite time, 6:05. Let's start out with something good because it's going to get a little dicey toward the end.
It probably will, yes.
Yeah.
I want to talk, every month, do you remember this, Bill? Every month on this very radio program, I read the top 10 tweets
this
of the
news
previous
to me.
Month.
That's why he sings the praises of Zorn.
Yep. That's why you sing my praises because yep. I'm like your walking memory. But every month we do this. Every week in the Tribune, I do a reader poll online, mm-hmm. and people vote, and there's usually 10, 12 tweets. Of those tweets, I then pick my favorites. I don't care what the readers say. These are my favorites from the month. And we post these online and you connect them through your Facebook page. And so I don't do the attributions because that would ruin my comedic timing.
Sure.
Which is really finally impeccable. Honed. But here are the top 10 tweets of the month.
In no particular order, actually.
First one. One good thing about taking the high road. Traffic is light these days. While at a museum, ask yourself these three questions. What is the artist's intention? How does the art make you feel? And have you stood in front of the art as long as a smart person would? If you can't Wang Chung tonight, please let me know the nights you are available to Wang Chung. I want to skip to the end of the Trump movie where it fades out and captions tell us how long they each got in prison. Not to brag, but I've been told that I'm a fine one to talk.
Oh, very good.
It's a little dialogue here. Me, I wish I had a nickname. Coworker, you do. I like that one. Like most white men, I'm empathic enough to understand how you experience your life better than you ever will. It would be nice if you made the effort to understand that.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Pretty wry here. Mm-hmm. Believe me, eating indoors every day is no picnic. My wife has this weird way of starting every conversation with, "Are you even paying attention?" And the last one, criticizing Trump in a book is just unfair. It's like criticizing the Amish on television.
Because they ain't going to see it.
He ain't going to read it.
That's why.
And those are the top 10 tweets.
What a great month it is for tweets, Eric.
I thought it was a good month.
It was a very good month for tweets. All right, so that's the happy. Now let's try the unhappy.
The unhappy is this whole business with Judge Kavanaugh. And I know you've talked about it earlier today, but I cannot stay away from it. It is, I think, the defining story maybe of this year. And it's got a sort of a generational feel to it. It's going to be one of these stories like the Anita Hill story that we're still talking about in 25 years.
Yeah,
I watched the hearing. I'm sure you guys watched it the other
Couldn't
day.
Pull away from it.
I've written about it a couple times already, and you know, my feeling is that it's very hard to say, you know, who's lying. You know, he's 100% sure that he's right. She's 100% sure that she's right. But so then, what we have to ask ourselves is to take a look at what he said about his own high school years and what he said about what was in his yearbook. And, you know, people say, well, what difference does it make? He, like, this was, you know, 40 years ago, not 40, but, you know, 36 years ago.
Yeah.
What some stupid thing he wrote in his yearbook. Why does that make any difference as to whether he's on the Supreme Court? And the answer is, it really doesn't matter to me if he was drinking too heavily in high school or even in college. And it doesn't matter to me if he and his friends made stupid sexist jokes. But it matters to me a great deal, and it should matter to all of us, whether he's lying about it today. And that's really the problem. Is when we talk about this girl, Renate, is that how you say her name? Or Renata?
Renata, I thought.
There was a girl who was going to another prep school nearby. It was all girls school, and this was an all boys school. And members of the football team, and I guess Kavanaugh was on the football team, but there's like 9 guys. And in the yearbook, they kept making these like leering references to this girl.
Right.
And, you know, anyone who remembers that sort of jock bro culture from high school knows what this was about. It was basically, you know, an attempt at slut shaming, right?
Yeah.
They were like,
she was easy.
She was easy. The little poem they published about her suggested she was easy. Terrible thing to do. Odious thing to do to a girl who didn't know about it at the time.
Didn't she read the yearbook? Well, it's not her high school. That's right.
It's not her high school. So, you know, there's all these jokes about how they're alumni of her.
And they're,
you know, meaning, suggesting that they had sex with her. And again, you know, whether they did or didn't have sex with her, doing that to somebody, especially behind their back, it's just an awful thing to do. But it's the kind of awful thing that high school boys do, okay? I mean, I think it is a forgivable thing. That certainly is a forgivable thing to have done that. I mean, you have to apologize for it.
Right.
All of us have said things, probably, and teased people, things that we shouldn't have done back in those days. The shame of it now, in my mind, is that he is lying about that. He's clearly lying about it. And anyone with any common sense knows that when he got up on Thursday and said, oh, we were just friends with her, this was just our way of saying we're friends with her. Well, that's just nonsense.
And then he yelled at one of the senators who brought it up, saying, you're just bringing her name up. It's really, you shouldn't bring her name up. Now the public is aware of this, and you're just shaming her some more.
Well, you know, but that's the problem. He doesn't own this thing. I mean, and so the fact that he doesn't own that, and there were some other references that he made to like the Devil's Triangle,
yeah,
which he says is a drinking game, which I never.
Everyone else says it's not.
Everyone else says that it's not, that it's a reference to group sex, and there's some other slang they use, some other things that clearly reference unwholesome teenage boy, gross juvenile adolescent testosterone fueled things that these guys were doing. And okay, so he was not a model citizen in high school, but the problem was that he was trying to portray himself under oath as this kid who just went to church and lifted weights with Squee
and PJ. Who, all right, does somebody counsel him and say, we need to paint you as a very religious, very cased child who did nothing wrong, who was an altar boy, a Cub Scout? Does somebody sit him down and go, this is the image of you that we need to sell to America? Or does he do that on his own?
I don't know. It seems to me like that would be some really bad advice if somebody gave him that advice. Like, you have to have been like a model child, because nobody really expects or cares whether someone was a model child in high school,
but all of
when
his
they were 53 years old,
are heading in that direction.
He could also be, you know, a drinker and partier and not have done this. It's just if he would have said, you know what, things got out of hand in high school, but I know I didn't do this.
Yeah, that certainly would have been a defensible
best,
way
yeah.
of saying it. Or,
but he kind of alluded to that a couple times. He kind of said, some of us had too much to drink, and then other times others of us had too much to drink.
He never said he did, and they asked if he ever passed out from drinking, and he said, I love this answer. He goes, well, I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what passing out is?
Yeah. I mean, that's just what is so strange, and what to me is like the piece of string that you pull on that starts making this whole nomination unravel, which is this guy got up in front of the country, got up in front of Congress, raised his right hand, and he lied about who he was in high school. And the only reason I can think that he would do that is that he's trying to make it seem less likely that this happened with Christine Blasey Ford.
Sure.
Make it less likely that it happened. And again, you know, I've said on this show, I think, even that if he did this, if there was this encounter in this bedroom that he doesn't remember, which is possible.
It is possible.
But if you drink that much, you might not remember that. Or you're in part of a culture where this kind of thing just happens and it's considered funny. It wouldn't be memorable to him. He could say, like, this might have happened. I don't think so. It might have happened. But you know, if it did, I'm really sorry. It certainly doesn't reflect who I am now. We would be well beyond that right
yep.
now. And there's an excellent argument that somebody made in the online magazine Vox about the movie 16 Candles. Do you remember that movie?
Yep.
You guys remember the one of the plot points in this movie, which we all thought was so funny back in the 80s, which is when these guys were growing up, is that the star jock gives his cheerleader girlfriend to the dweeb, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure Bill knows like who the gaffer was in this movie, but I don't remember the names of the characters. But
yeah.
Anthony Michael Hall was the dweeb, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea is that the star, the jock, gives his completely drunken girlfriend, says, here, you know, basically have your way with her. Now I guess maybe he did or didn't. I don't remember the movie that well, but anyway, we all thought this was really kind of funny, right? And then in Animal House, there's that scene where the devil's on one shoulder, the
sure.
angels
yeah.
on the other, and this is played for laughs.
Yeah.
Like, no one thinks like this is a crime that's about to happen.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think that people in that generation used terms like sexual assault and rape to refer to that kind of activity. I mean, they should have. It was, but they didn't. That wasn't the culture then. And I think that's true. When these cultural messages are telling you, hey, the girl gets drunk, yeah, it's your opportunity. Go for it, pal. Or maybe not. You know, but if you remember what happens at the end of the Animal House scene, do you remember this?
I don't remember what happened.
Well, the angel wins. The angel says,
oh, yeah,
don't
yeah.
do it. And then the devil says, you homo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the culture that we were in. So when he's growing up in this culture, and it seems like it's a real alcohol-fueled version of that culture, to say, like, oh, no, we were just going to church and lifting weights, me and
right.
Squee and PJ and who are
yeah.
the ones?
All the kids were there.
And it's like,
yeah.
it's like wholesome thing. It doesn't,
yep.
doesn't happen.
Hold that thought. Eric Zorn is our guest from the Chicago Tribune. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're getting some calls. We're talking about the Kavanaugh hearings. I'm very curious
to hear. People interested in that?
People
are interested in this.
People are a little interested in it, Eric.
Wow.
Hard to believe. Ed, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
Good. What did you want to say about it?
I just wanted to say, I think I'm glad that Eric's there today and explain. That's what I've told everybody, that that's asked me. I think both of these people are absolutely telling the truth.
They can't be.
It's a
they could be.
How could they?
Hang on. Let Ed go on.
Look, it's a different perspective. I graduated in the 70s. Guys, I'm telling you, that wasn't all that unacceptable to be pushing girls around. It's terrible. It's not what it should have been. It traumatized her. She's a 15-year-old girl, and she was hanging around with 17-year-old boys. She got in over her head, and these guys, it was a night for them what they did to most girls, you know?
He says he wasn't even at the party. Not that it got out of hand or didn't get out of hand. He says he wasn't even there.
Well, I know he's lying.
Oh, so they're not both telling the truth. See, that's what the problem is.
Well, he's lying because he did it. That's why every time he says, well, I was a football captain, basketball captain, I went to church, I did my laundry, folded everything. I mean, he did everything right. He's trying to build a case for him being so perfect that how could this one night destroy what was a beautiful life, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, great point, Ed. Totally appreciate your phone call.
I would say I'm probably about Ed's vintage, too. I graduated from high school in the 70s, and this kind of thing was common, but I certainly hope that Ed didn't do that kind of thing, and I know I didn't do that kind of thing.
And I didn't run across guys that did that. I mean, yeah, there were guys trying things, maybe, but they understood, hey, cut it out.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, there's a big difference between being cavalier about sex and being sexist and awkward and all those things and assaulting somebody. So,
one of my biggest fears was if you watched Dr. Ford, you'd say to yourself, the mere act of coming forward and telling your story it could backfire on you. I mean, she's getting death threats. She has to move out of her house with her family. How about this? The National Sexual Assault Hotline has announced that they just had their busiest day in history the day after the Kavanaugh hearing. So people who saw it, despite the risks that you would take in coming forward and telling your story, there's still all these people who feel the need to tell their story. That's a good thing.
I have heard so many, just in casual conversation, I've heard women who I will bring this up to, and so many of them have had experiences that are similar to this, that they're not like strangers jumping out of the bushes and dragging you in and raping you. These are things that are sort of more subtle, but they are also very wrong.
Right.
And they are now getting the vocabulary to talk about them and process those stories, and you can hear them all the time. I mean, it is something that I think this is a real cultural moment.
Sure.
It's about more than this, than just this Supreme Court nomination. And I hope that it opens young people's eyes, particularly because they're the ones who are the most at risk for doing this kind of stuff.
Kellyanne Conway told her story to Jake Tapper over the weekend.
Unbelievable. So
yeah.
It's not funny. Kellyanne Conway, I am sorry that this happened, but, you know, when Jake even said, I'm sorry, she was like, I don't want to talk about this. Don't go there. I mean, it's got to happen. It's got to be a conversation, and you can't doubt everyone that comes forward.
Do we have time for one more call real quick?
Yes.
Trina, we only have a minute, but go ahead, please.
I just want to say that I was one of those people that was sexually assaulted, abused, and raped when I was younger. And it was always like, people always said that you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And all these years I dismissed it because I thought that that was the case until this happened, and then it happened to my daughter.
Oh, Trina, I am so sorry to hear this.
That's awful.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Yeah.
And those of us with daughters, Bill and me, daughters of almost the same age, have to think about this very strongly.
Constantly.
Yeah, it's a big thing, and your story is devastating.
And someone with sons needs to help tell them what is the proper way to treat a woman, and if there is some false accusations, that could be devastating as well.
Right, and I'm certainly talking
about... See, and I didn't think it was wrong. I just realized... I've heard for so many years that I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, you asked for it.
Oh.
And then my daughter, when she's in her 20s, you know, she gets too drunk, doesn't, or whatever, and the guy's, she isn't able to say no, or she says no and he takes advantage of her. Now she's truly messed up.
And, you know, it doesn't make it right, even if you're too drunk or even if you're a girl who parties, there still is no explanation for this.
Well, and she really wasn't. In that case, a girl that parties. he was the one that sort of set this up to get her a little boozed up. He had a plan.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Hope for more healing for both of you, Trina.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you
for calling, Trina. Right. We have to take a break. Eric, appreciate you being here as always. We'll see you in a week. It's Eric Zorn. Read him in the Chicago Tribune. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.